You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill. Alex Dunn and Pete Farries are with you now to look ahead to the Championship action this weekend. Two televised games to go out for Pete. Then he's going to offer his thoughts on the Championship as a whole. We've also got Gav Puchalowski and Al Ross looking at League One and League Two this week. So plenty to get our teeth stuck into. We'll waste no time doing it. First things first, good morning, Pete.
Good morning. I've got a cold that won't leave.
Okay. Have you taken any paracetamol?
Yes, I've taken literally everything that is possible to take.
Okay.
And it goes for a day and then comes back for five. I don't know what's happening.
Okay. Has it impaired your tipping ability?
It hasn't really. I mean, it did. I think it did last week. I went guns out on Rotherham, felt that they would be a good play. And, of course, it was a dramatic game, wasn't it? But I'm afraid my bet didn't come through. So got a couple of really good ones this week. A couple of really good ones this week I'm looking forward to telling everyone about. And luckily, I have a platform on which to do it.
Well, absolutely. Right, OK, then. We'll dive into the action then. We're going to start with the Friday night game, which is Preston against Wigan this Friday at 7:45. Preston in 19th, Wigan in 22nd. Has plenty of the hallmarks this of a relegation scrap. Two sides that, if I'm being honest, Pete, I would say probably have just about enough to stay up, but that's probably all that they have. Preston are 29-20, the draw is 21-10, and Wigan are 9-5. Those prices suggest that the traders aren't too sure who's going to come out on top here. Are you any clearer on this?
It's a very difficult one, isn't it? Because if you look at Wigan's away form, for example, they've lost all four away games. But there's the Bristol City, having taken the lead and, of course, conceding two goals in the last 10 minutes to lose. They've been at Forest, the team who at the time was scoring loads of goals, and to be fair, I suppose recently have scored a lot of goals. They've then been to Wednesday and Norwich. So actually, they've been to some of the places you would, with all due respect to Wigan, expect them to lose.
Mm.
You know, that's kind of fair enough. But my issue with Wigan, generally speaking, is that outside of that victory over Blackburn, they haven't won, and rarely have they looked like winning. A couple of good home draws, Birmingham, Fulham, but they haven't looked like winning. At least of late, Preston have looked like winning, and of course have.
Mm.
Won at QPR, lost away at Ipswich, tricky place to go, lost at home to Barnsley, very good team, and were battered. I mean, they were battered by Brentford last Saturday, 5-0, which might take a little bit of getting over. But if I look at the prices here, I do completely understand here why the traders have priced it the way that they have. I really do. With Preston, you know, sort of narrow fabs. I would stick with that, though.
Okay.
I would stick with that 29-20. I think it's a very, very decent bet. One market I really did like, but has come down in price as I'm recording this podcast, the little red arrow of doom is pointed downwards, is Callum Robinson. Callum Robinson scored plenty of goals of late. He scored in the wins. He scored in that 3-0 win over Cardiff, of course. He scored against Fulham, even though it was only a consolation in the end. I like Callum Robinson. I've liked him for a few years, wherever he's been, and I like his movement incredible. I think 17-10 for a guy who's got two goals in a game where, if we're honest, a goal scorer is quite tricky to find, I think. A consistent goal scorer is quite tricky to find. I quite like Callum Robinson at 17-10. But then there's some bets that I absolutely adore. There is, of course, over the last year and a half, this big vogue for the match result on both teams to score, isn't there?
Mm.
We've seen huge interest in it, and it's something that certainly, I mean, I have an acca every weekend, a treble, which I turn into a trixie every week, of teams to win and both teams to score. But I think we do sometimes forget the old favourite, which is team to win and over 2.5 match goals. Now, if you think both teams to score, that's got to land. If you think a team to win and both teams to score, then over 2.5 obviously has to land because that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we've also got the Preston win 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, or whatever. not saying it's going to be 5-0, but Preston winning over 2.5 goals at 11-4. I went with this rather than the both teams. Now, you would say that both teams would be slightly more intriguing. I mean, Wigan have scored so far away from home this season 6 away goals. They've scored in all of their away games. But I played that because Preston, I think at home, could make it a bit more difficult for them. And they've kept a couple of clean sheets and have, you know, conceded just the 1 against Ipswich, for example. Now, the 5 against Brentford might mean that the 19-5 is a better play. But I'm just going to dial it down a little bit and go Preston and overs at 11-4 instead. Is that right?
I'm okay with that, Pete, if you are.
Good. Now, what we've also got in this market is the anytime correct score. My God, I love this market. This is basically what it says in the tin. At some point, at any point in the game, it has to be this score to land your bet. So 1-0 is 10-11 Preston at any time.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the same as first goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
First team to score, I should say. But I like Preston 2-0. At any time, at 100-30. Wigan have conceded 2 in all of their away games. So, for example, Preston raced to 2 is 9-5. But also, yes, they went 1-0. Yes, it was 1-0, and it didn't land against Bristol City because they then came from 1-0 down to win. It didn't land against Forest. It didn't land against Sheffield Wednesday. It did land against Norwich. But I expect Preston to hit too quickly here. Certainly from reading some of Simon Grayson's pre-match thoughts, that's the way I'd go. So you could go, even though you fancy a Preston win, if you do fancy Preston win. You could play, of course, teams that come from behind and win or draw, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's been happening against Wigan quite a lot. In fact, you know what? Live on this podcast, I'm going to do a little bit of a roundabout here.
Okay.
Ignore the Preston 2-0 at any time.
Well, don't ignore it. It's still a good bet.
Well, no, it's interesting, but there is actually something that I've literally just seen now. There's actually more argument, Alex, to be fair, on Preston to come from Preston to come from behind and win or draw.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Well, yeah, I suppose.
You know, it landed against Bristol City, it landed against Sheffield Wednesday. Okay, it didn't land against Forest, but yeah. So it might well be worth looking at it instead. Anyway, the point is, for me ultimately, Preston the play here. Preston is what should be carrying your money. The race to 2 at 9-5, Callum Robinson anytime, the outright, the Preston and over 2.5. There's lots of good ways to get involved, but I think Preston win.
Okay. So any Preston or pro-Preston market could tickle your fancy then on the Friday night game. The other game that we're going to focus on is the Saturday tea time game. It's Aston Villa against Newcastle. 9-5 for Villa. The draw is 21-10. And Newcastle in the betting at 29-20. Newcastle, who lost at home to Wolves last week, righted that wrong in the cup in midweek. Coming up against the Villa side, who are the draw specialists of the Championship. They've drawn 5 of their 8 games so far, including their last 3. You'd imagine this one's going to be very, very tight, possibly a little bit trappy, but which way do you think it's going to go, Pete?
I mean, my instinct is to go towards Newcastle here. I mean, I'm sure your instinct is the same, Alex.
Punting-wise, no.
No? Right, okay.
They're a decent price. Should just add, I am a Newcastle fan. Just asking my opinion because I know anything. I think the draw is the most likely outcome here, but it's not a great price. 21-10. I'd go under 1.5, to be honest. If I was going to have one bet in this game, under 1.5 at 21-10 would be my play.
Because you can, as you quite rightly say, look at Villa. The fact that they've drawn so far this season, 5 games, haven't they?
Mm.
But Newcastle haven't drawn this season.
Mm.
Newcastle have not drawn at once this season. So you've actually got to counter. I think it's all fair and well to look at as a punter to say, oh, look at all these draws for Villa. But on the counter side of that, you do have to say, well, look, no draws for Newcastle. You know, and I think you do. Now, Newcastle, it was a surprise loss against Wolves. I mean, that was an acca destroyer, that. I think for a lot of people, it certainly punch my acca in the privates. 8-13 they were that day, weren't they? And didn't quite get over the line for us. They then, of course, avenged that midweek against Wolves in a 2-0 victory at home again. But I think a QPR is a solid side who can draw games. Derby, flat, not really great at the moment. Bristol City have been okay. But Newcastle have beaten them 6-0, 2-0 and 1-0 respectively away from home.
Mm.
If Newcastle get their goals going, Villa can't match them. They just can't match them in front of goal. Now, I mean, first and foremost, do I think both teams can score in this? I mean, it lands in loads of Villa games. Newcastle conceded two, but have been scoring, and the defence has been good. I think still the both teams to score could land, and I think it's probably a good play at 10 to 11. I mean, certainly, if you offer me 10 to 11, your choice on yes or no, both teams to score, then I'd go yes.
Mm-hmm.
You happy with that?
I'm going to disagree with you on that one, Pete.
Right.
I just think it's going to be very, very trappy. I think it'll be 1-0 either way, or a 0-0 draw. That's personally. But I take what you're saying in that when Newcastle get going, they score so many goals, as we saw at QPR last midweek. And you look at the Villa players as well. Kodjia, McCormack, even Gusted, there is a lot of talent there. Kodjia's really impressed me since joining. And I think if he and McCormack really sort of get firing, Villa are going to shoot up the table. Whether they can do it on this occasion is another matter. But this is your podcast, Pete. Back to you.
No, I know. I think what's interesting as well, though, is, I mean, I'm not the greatest fan of Roberto Di Matteo.
Mm-hmm.
No, I appreciate he's a man who's won the Champions League, but I'm not the biggest fan, to be honest, of him. In terms of, no, I think he seems like a decent bloke and everything, but I'm not particularly keen on his management. On top of which, let's not forget, there has been further turmoil, that's the wrong word, but further nonsense behind the scenes this week with Jack Grealish.
Mm.
As well, which will not be helpful to him or to Villa. So all of this, I actually am happy with Newcastle. I'm not stressed out by Newcastle. I mean, Newcastle on both teams is 4-1. Now, when it comes to goal scorers, there was a couple. Dwight Gayle to score, Newcastle to win, 7-2 enhanced odds from 13-5. Not got a problem in the world with that. And Jonjo Shelvey, for example, a big price, scored a couple of goals recently, hasn't he? 16-5. Gouffran scored a cracker in the week, an absolute cracker, 16-5 for him. So, I mean, there is a bit of form for goal scorers. I probably would stick with Gayle at 7-5 should he start. But there was other bets that I loved here. I have played Newcastle minus a goal, full disclosure, at 19-5, because I think they can do that to Villa, who I don't actually think are that much cop. But look also here at the goals that have happened at Villa so far this season. Against Rotherham, 21st minute, 45th minute, 84th minute. Against Huddersfield, 86th minute. Against Forest, 87th minute. Against Brentford, 88th minute. Do you see where I'm going with this?
I do.
So, match goal, 76 to full-time, yes, is 11-10. For the last 5 minutes of the game, is 11-4. And for 81st minute to full-time, this is the one that I think I'd plump with, 81st to full-time at 13-8. Gives you the best price with still a nice sort of 10 minutes if you include other time to go. So 81st minute to full-time, 13-8. There is loads of great ways to play the goal market in terms of time of goals, which, again, I think is very, very nice. But while I understand people's reticence, on the face of it, Villa drawing loads of games, Newcastle aren't. You have to look at the counter side of it. Newcastle aren't drawing all those games.
Mm.
You know, Villa are blowing in the last minute or conceding in the last minute, who aren't winning. And let's be fair as well. I mean, at home so far, they hit 3 past Rotherham and 2 past Forest. But then 1 past Brentford and 1 past the good Huddersfield, I suppose, is okay. Away from home, they've scored just once. Villa are not a free scoring side. And if they get into a bit of a brawl, a goal-scoring brawl with Newcastle, there's only one winner. You know?
Mm.
So I'm going to go with Newcastle here. I'm going to go with Newcastle here at 29-20. I'm happy with them, ultimately, on the outrights.
Okay. Here's a stat for you
that
would have been relevant and sort of isn't quite as good anymore. But until the Wolves game in the league last week, Newcastle had not lost a second half under Rafa Benitez. Obviously, they did last week. Wolves took the lead in the first half and added to it in the second. But it speaks volumes for how much he is changing there. And even in the relegation season, Newcastle did not lose a second half under Rafa Benitez. So that could also back up the late goal that you want to play, if you like. Maybe if Newcastle are behind, maybe that record is completely out the window now that they've lost it once. Who knows? But something to ponder, definitely.
Well, that is, of course, that's a market that's always available, isn't it? First half, team to win the first half, team to win the second half, and the first half draw are available.
Yeah.
So it's worth having a look at those. Intriguing, that.
Definitely. Okay then, Pete, I'm going to leave it to you now to put forward your best bets in the rest of the Championship and put your nap forward as well. In terms of the naps, three losers last week, I'm afraid. It's the first time it's happened so far this season. But three losers for Algav and Pete. Hopefully we can right that wrong this time around. It is Al who sits top of the Naps table. He's the only one in profit as things stand, but I'm sure that Gav and yourself, Pete, can haul yourself up there sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I got cocky last week a little bit. I saw that 5-2 and I thought, they're going to beat Blackburn. They have to beat Blackburn. 6-goal game, which they took the lead at the beginning. After 12 minutes, I was all cocky. I was like, wait, here we go. Oh, no, they've lost 4-2.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, though, Pete, isn't it?
Worth, just very quickly, I'm not going to mention this in the other bets, but just very quickly, it's worth looking at Sam Gallagher to score any time for Blackburn this weekend. As much as Blackburn aren't brilliant, and, well, that's maybe a bit of an understatement, been in great form, hasn't he? Two in four, I think, now, for Blackburn. He's been looking good, Sam Gallagher, on loan from Southampton, I believe.
13-5 any time, and 8 first goal scorer. Blackburn are away at Derby this weekend. Right then, Pete, over to you.
So Leeds at 13-10 is maybe a good place to start things off, really. Ipswich have won just once at Elland Road since 2005. And yes, they're not exactly a great away side, are they? Lost at Brentford, lost at Reading, drew 0-0 at Wolves, and did win their last away game out, of course, against Derby. But that was a narrow 1-0 victory against a Derby side who do not look remotely right. On the other side of things, Leeds have turned some bad form around with 3 back-to-back wins. You do have to look at them a bit closer, though, to say twice they've won at home against Blackburn Rovers, a side struggling, and Cardiff, bottom of the Championship. But maybe just a bit of confidence starting to creep into Gary Monk's men now. And speaking of confidence, Chris Wood is a man with plenty of it. 9-5 any time for Chris Wood, a man whose goal-scoring record recently is very, very decent indeed. Scored the winner against Blackburn, scored from the spot away at Cardiff, and of course did score the first goal in the 2-1 victory in the league against Blackburn as well. Leeds would be the play here. Maybe they're not for everyone. Yes, they are inconsistent. Yes, they are frustrating. But I don't massively love Ipswich away from home, so I'll start, I think, with Leeds. On the face of it, 4-9 for Norwich might seem a tad short. Yes, they've won 3 of their 4 home games, Norwich, but Burton have lost just 1 of their last 6, drawn plenty of them, and have made themselves incredibly tough to beat. In fact, that one game I mentioned them losing, they of course lost by a goal, a last-minute goal pretty much, to a Tomer Hemed penalty. Nigel Clough has got them playing very, very well and very, very disciplined football. But Norwich do remain the play. They've got goals to spare for me. And despite that, bit of a blip, you could say, against Birmingham, have been absolutely terrifying. 4-9 will do me, but I quite like the minus a goal here on Norwich at 11-8. I expect them to cut loose against what is normally a very tight and disciplined Burton side. So 11-8 for minus a goal could be a nice play. The goal scorer market, there's plenty. Jacob Murphy been in great goal scoring form, of course. A couple of goals recently for Norwich. But actually, the one that I quite like is Johnny Howson. Howson has 2 in 3 at home for Norwich this season. He is a man who likes to step up to the plate, and the former Leeds man is 23-10 to score any time. Yes, 4-9 might not seem the sexiest price in the world, but I think this is one for your ackers, because I don't think Burton will be able to deal with the Norwich City attack. Well, they let me down last week, but I'm going to go back here with Alan Stubbs' Rotherham United, this time to beat Cardiff City. Cardiff really struggling, the joint second lowest goal scorers in the Championship, and a side who at the bottom of the table right now don't seem like they have enough to get away as things stand. There's an awful lot of great value in this game, truth be told, outside of Rotherham on the outright at 29-20. The first place to stop, I think, is goal scorer Danny Ward. 6-4 any time, he's got 3 in his last 5, and of course grabbed a brace in that surprise loss to Blackburn. The thing about Rotherham United is, yes, they've conceded 20 goals already this season, but Cardiff can't really score at that kind of rate. Now, it was a surprise that Blackburn got as many as they did, but I think away from home here, Cardiff can't bag the amount of goals they will need to get past the Rotherham side, who, despite, of course, not picking up as many wins as they would have liked, have been scoring twice, as I mentioned, against Blackburn, twice against Forest, twice against Bristol City, got that win over Brentford, and of course twice against Wolves as well. If Rotherham can start scoring goals, I'm not entirely sure that Cardiff can stay with them. So look at Danny Ward, as I said, at 6-4. Look at Rotherham at 29-20. I think they're the way to go here. I just don't really at the moment want to be backing Cardiff. So after all of this, the live TV games and of course the games I've mentioned just now, what is the nap of the week? After Rotherham let me down last week at 5-2, I was so close to going with them again but decided against it. So instead this week, I've gone for a slightly simpler, but maybe even riskier bet. Burton have been very hard to beat recently, very, very hard to beat. And when they have lost, it's not exactly been comprehensive. But I think Norwich at home can take this Burton Albion side apart. So my nap of the week this week will be Norwich minus a goal at 11-8.
Thanks very much to Pete Farries then for his thoughts there on the rest of the Championship action. And of course his nap, his best bets in the Championship this weekend. So that's the Championship done and dusted. What about League One, League Two, I hear you ask? Well, we've got Gav Pushilovsky and Al Ross standing by to offer their best bets in each league. Start with League One with Gav, then we'll move on to Al on League Two, both putting forward their three best bets and indeed a nap for the weekend in the lower leagues. But we'll start with Gav Pushilovsky on League One.
League One is becoming incredibly difficult to call because nobody's stamping their authority on the league. There's only three sides putting some kind of a good run of form together. One of them is Scunthorpe, but they drew during the week at home to Charlton. Sheffield United have won their last four games straight. They're one of the informed sides. And Bury as well, who have won their last three games straight. Everybody else is drawing or losing, and only three of the top nine have registered their last game as a victory. So League One is becoming pretty tough to call, but these are my three best bets for this weekend. My first shout is a side who are going pretty well, riding high at the top of the table, and then suddenly from nowhere they've hit the buffers, as a lot of teams have all of a sudden, and they've gone from winning game after game after game to suddenly only taking 2 points from the last nine available. But I'm thinking they're going to get back on track against a fairly lowly Rochdale side. A Rochdale side who recently claimed their first victory, so they are a threat. But I'm backing Millwall at 4-5 to win at home to Rochdale. Millwall did the double over Rochdale last season. Over 2.5 goals landed at the Den and unders away at Rochdale. But Millwall, for me, a bet at 4-5. I will tell you that I am backing, actually, I really like Millwall to win and both teams to score. That is 11-4. But Millwall, my first shout to get back on track against Rochdale at 4-5. My second shout is the draw between Fleetwood Town and MK Dons. Fleetwood Town winning a couple of games back-to-back and then suddenly a draw and a defeat. They've only picked up 1 point from six against an MK Dons side who have not won in four but have started to improve and have drawn their last two games. The interesting thing about MK Dons is that they have only failed to score in one of their last 15 games away from home. So they're good for the goal on the road, MK Dons. And Fleetwood Town at home, only win of late at home if they keep a clean sheet. They won 2-0 against Oxford, 2-0 against Coventry, but Scunthorpe went to Fleetwood and scored and drew 2-2. Charlton went to Fleetwood and scored and also drew 2-2. Fleetwood have actually drawn four of the last seven at home, and actually they tend to be score draws 1-1, 2-2. So you could be looking at a high scoring draw in this one, and I think the draw is a big play at 11-5, and I think you could push the boat out a little bit and go for the 1-1 at 6-1, and why not have a look at the 2-2 at 14-1. Another interesting angle in with Fleetwood Town against MK Dons is that last time these teams played, the last two meetings, there's been a grand total of six goals, and all six goals have come in the second half. So there is a chance that Fleetwood Town and MK Dons, highest scoring half, second half is a play. And if it is 0-0 at halftime between Fleetwood Town and MK Dons, still play overs on the goals and still play the draw. But the draw is a big play for me between Fleetwood Town and MK Dons at 11-5. Just a few other shouts before I give you my third and final bet, but I do believe that Bolton Bradford is a draw at 2-1, both sides to cancel each other out, both sides not winning games, both sides, well, Bolton lost recently and the draw has been plentiful for both Bolton and Bradford. I also think the draw's a play between Oxford and Charlton. Charlton, an unusual side, they seem to do better against the better side. Suffered a defeat at home to Wimbledon last Saturday, then drew away at table-topping Scunthorpe. So the draw's a play between Oxford and Charlton, 11-5. Scunthorpe versus Sheffield United. Sheffield United suddenly looking a bit big at 19-10. to win at Scunthorpe. Four games back-to-back the Blades have won. They won last season away at Scunthorpe, of course. Billy Sharp, former Scunthorpe player, scoring beltloads of goals for Scunthorpe earlier in his career. The Blades could be a play at 19-10, but I do like both teams to score between Scunthorpe and Sheffield United, a battle of the SUFCs, and I think over 2.5 goals is tempting at evens. My third and final bet for this weekend is Bury at home to Chesterfield, and these are also my Knapp selection at 21-20. They're on a fine run of form, are Bury. Having won the last four games straight, they're scoring plenty of goals as well. Four against Morecambe, four against Port Vale, two against Shrewsbury and two away at Swindon. And the last four games straight for Bury, a player for Bury has scored two goals. That'll be Tom Pope against Morecambe in the EF Challenge Trophy. That'll be James Vaughan against Port Vale who scored two. That'll be Danny Mayer against Shrewsbury who scored two. And last time out it was Hallen Hope who scored two for Bury in a 2-1 victory away at Swindon. Chesterfield yet to win away from home, the best they have done so far this season, and start the season with a draw at Oxford, lost at Rochdale, Shrewsbury and Wimbledon, and drew against Oldham. They're not performing that well on the road, Chesterfield, and I think Bury are going to be too strong for them. I think Bury probably, and possibly even minus one, will be a play, but Bury certainly in there at 21-20. And I mentioned Danny Mayer. Last time Bury played at home, he scored a brace. And last time Bury played at home to Chesterfield, they won by a goal to nil. And Danny Mayer scored that day as well. And Danny Mayer is 5-2 anytime. Do look at Tom Pope. Do look at Hallam Hope as well. Pope and Hope. There we go. It's like a 80s TV detective series. Hope and Pope. 7-4 anytime for Hope and Pope. For Bury, but I do like Bury to win the game against Chesterfield. It's 21-20, and that is my Knapp. So my treble for this weekend in League One is Millwall at 4-5 to beat Rochdale. I do like the draw between Fleetwood Town and MK Dons at 11-5, and I do like Bury at 21-20 to beat Chesterfield. That is just over 10-1.
Going for a familiar school of thought for the opening bet this week. Accrington Stanley have done brilliantly in the limelight of the EFL Cup this season. I don't mean to undermine their achievements at all. However, every time they've played in it, they have lost their following league game. They have the same 2.5-day turnaround time now as those Europa League managers who you'll hear complaining about having to play on Thursday night and then Sunday afternoon. However, rotation for Stanley is not the option that it is for those big Europa League squads. Stanley, of course, made to work really hard without the ball away at West Ham in midweek. And I know that Colchester may not be on the same level as the Hammers here, but if you are a Stanley player who's had to work really hard in midweek, how easy is it going to be to get up for this league game after playing a Premier League side and having that 96th minute heartbreak, that Dimitri Payet free kick, to knock you out of the tournament? Now, even if you're not a subscriber to any of those theories, I think it's still worth a play because Colchester have three home wins in four this season. They'd be a good odds against bet anyway against an Accrington side with only one away win. 21-20 on Colchester, and if you are a subscriber to the fatigue theory, also have a look at Colchester 6-4 just to win the second half. Now, last week's big winner at 3-1 was Carlisle to draw and both teams to score. Why on earth would I leave a bet that's now landed in six of their last eight league games? I know you might be put off by the fact that Wickham's away record this season is not fantastic. However, that has been skewed by the fact their early away trips have included Luton and Portsmouth. Wickham have injuries, I'm aware of this. However, I just don't think the traders are learning here because drawing is a habit. And drawing both teams to score again is 3-1. Equally good though, and much more ACCA friendly admittedly, is the 7-10 on over 2.5 goals. It looks a crazy price when you realise Wickham have seen 17 goals in their last five games. Carlisle have seen 20. And talking of goals, Stevenage have been knocking them in for fun recently. No side in the division has scored more goals on their own turf than their 11. And they're up against an Exeter side whose manager has been publicly bemoaning their defensive injury worries. However, Stevenage are low in the table. I think it's because of that they are odds against at 6-5. They've only got 1 point on the road this season. That's why they're struggling in the league table-wise. At home, 3 wins in 4. And I'm happy enough of backing that'll be 4-5 come the end of the weekend. Against a team, of course, who are second from bottom. I think that price most weeks would mean that Stevenage would be the nap, but this week that honour has to go to Colchester at 21-20. Wins for Colchester and for Stevenage, added to that whopping 5-2 for yet another Carlisle draw, would pay you out at 14.78-1.
Thanks to Arlan, and of course to Gav as well. And indeed, Pete from earlier on in the podcast. They've all been here. They've all put forward their best bets. Best of luck if you do follow them this weekend, and best of luck with any other bets that you have across the weekend on the Football League. We'll be back same time next week with the best of the action in the lower leagues to look forward to. I've been Alex Dunn. You've been whoever you are. And we'll talk to you soon.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.